Well, a new voice that you have heard on KATE Radio before, but we are welcoming to Afternoons with Aaron here on KATE Radio. And like I said earlier this week, we want to expand our lineup of weekly guests, and we're going to do that with this guy on a weekly basis. He is executive producer and studio host of the Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network broadcast that you hear on KATE. You hear him during the pregame show, at halftime, throughout the broadcast of Timberwolves basketball right here on KATE. And of course, we're talking about Cal Soderquist. And Cal, a good afternoon and welcome to KATE Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Aaron. I'm happy we could connect to talk some Wolves too.
Absolutely. Now, anyone that listens to my show in the afternoon knows my love affair with the Timberwolves. I have three favorite teams when it comes to professional sports. I get booed a lot when I say the Chicago White Sox. That's one. The Minnesota Vikings and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And before we talk about what was a fun game in Denver last night, a game you heard on KATE, Cal, give us a little background about yourself. Want to introduce you to our listening audience. How long have you been with the Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network?
Yeah, so I've been with the team, I think it's nearly 10 years. Some of the seasons, especially some of those tough seasons, they kind of blur together. I joined the team as an intern back in the final Kurt Rambis year, for fans that go that far back. So that was a tough season. But yeah, I started as an intern with the radio team, and just kind of over the years have worked my way up to this position now. I've born and raised in Minnesota, so I've grown up rooting for a lot of the same teams that you just mentioned, the Wolves included, obviously. I was hooked on those KG years and that 2003-2004 Western Conference Finals run with KG and Latrell Sprewell and Sam Cassell. And yeah, I went to school here in the Twin Cities, kind of got into some broadcasting work and, you know, radio production work there, and it's just been kind of a, you know, most nights it's just a dream come true and a super fun ride. You know, you get to tell the stories of these players, and all of them, you know, have such unique backgrounds, and they all have taken kind of different paths to get to, you know, this most elite level, you know, being in the NBA and being able to play basketball for a living. So it's fun to get to kind of bring some of those stories to all the listeners, and hopefully bring some victories to fans as well.
Cal Soderquist with the Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network with us here on KATE. And Cal, let's get right into it. Last night was a game that we don't see this too often from a Minnesota Timberwolves team, where they pretty much take control early and dominate throughout the game. Three-pointers were landing for our team last night. Anthony Edwards had a great night. Karl Anthony Towns, of course, hit a milestone. Give us your thoughts on last night's win. A Denver team that it had been a while since we had knocked off the Nuggets. We go to Portland this week. We beat the Trail Blazers. We go to Denver and pick up a win. I mean, these are two pretty impressive back-to-back wins for a franchise that in these two buildings, they don't win very often.
No, I mean, those losing streaks were fairly lengthy in terms of the tough go that the Wolves have had against those two teams. Kind of like you mentioned, you know, against Portland, I think the losing streak was something like 8 straight in that building on the road against that team. And then against the Nuggets, you know, Minnesota had not beaten that team either home or road since that super fun, you know, game 82 win or go home playoff determination matchup back in the Jimmy Butler year. So it was you know, the Wolves had tough luck against these two teams. They're both kind of divisional rivals. But as you mentioned, you know, it was great to see the Wolves last night kind of start the game red hot. You know, they shot the basketball really well in that first quarter. They had a 40-point quarter. I think they were 9 of 13 from deep. The 9 made triples were the most three-pointers that the Wolves have had in any one quarter in franchise history. So they started the game at a record-breaking pace and then really just never let off the gas. It was really cool to see. I think different guys got in on the fun for different stretches, but you kind of alluded to it. Anthony Edwards led the way, and I think there's a chance for some real momentum where, you know, Minnesota, with the significance of these two wins, the fact that, you know, this team has had up and down performances, especially on the road away from their home crowd, So if you can sweep a little two-game trip like this and then come back and get set for two at home, maybe a chance to really build up some momentum here and get a winning streak going.
Now, Cal, talking about Anthony Edwards again, a big night for him beyond the arc. He's a guy that he's going to have those nights where he doesn't shoot the best from a three-point range. We know he's a young guy. He's going to get better in many aspects of the game. He's so much fun to watch. And as a fan, I'm a guy that when Anthony Edwards pulls up for threes or does step back threes, a lot of times I'm yelling at my radio, just go to the hole. You know, we like to watch Anthony Edwards drive towards the basket. Now, last night was a different night because when someone's hot, you go, oh, that's okay. Take those step back three-pointers like Ant did last night. And I think that's one thing that's fun to watch about Anthony Edwards is he's going to have those flows where he's going to have a bad game and he's going to have a game like he had last night. And that's just some of the growth that we're going to get used to and is going to be fun to watch as the years progress with Ant.
Yeah, he does still have sort of that streakiness to his three-point shot, kind of like you mentioned there. And you know, he's certainly, whether it's hot or cold from long range, he's a guy who has never lacked confidence in that shot. And I think that's good in the sense that he's never going to second guess, you know, even if he's in some sort of a mini shooting slump, you know, if he's got an open look, he's going to take it. And I think that's good in the long run to have that kind of, you know, belief in yourself and to have that kind of scorer's mentality. But you're right. I think he's also, you know, as just a second year player in this league, his head coach mentions all the time that Ant is still learning and growing and kind of figuring the game out, figuring out, you know, when he should put the ball on the floor and try to drive to the rim and get some fouls or finish at the bucket. Or, you know, if the defense is giving him that space and enough room to kind of get that shot off, we certainly saw the range last night. I think that 10th triple, it was certainly a heat check shot, but he let that thing fly from, you know, just on the periphery of the center court logo in Denver at Ball Arena. So he's got kind of that Steph Curry range, at least in his head. He certainly thinks, hey, when I step inside half court, I can let this thing go and have a good chance of hitting it. So I think if one of those deals where we're kind of only scratching the surface of what this guy can be, both as a shooter and as a scorer in general, you know, he came into the league, the three-point shot was not considered a strong part of his skill set as a rookie, but he's worked at it. He's understood how much that three-point shot means in today's NBA. I think we've already seen improvement. Obviously, last night's a glaring example of that improvement, but I think he knows that with the work that he's certainly not shying away from, he can still add so much to his game, both with the three-point shooting and with, you know, all the other things in his repertoire that he can do as far as really putting pressure on defenses.
Kel Soderquist again, executive producer and studio host for the Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network, the first of weekly interviews we'll do with Cal right here on KETE. We should mention the milestone last night. Karl Anthony Towns, 10,000 points in his career. Is that correct?
It is, yeah. He crossed that threshold, and it's a pretty cool moment for him. You know, after the game, he got kind of the mini Gatorade bath from his teammate and close buddy, D'Angelo Russell. And then in the locker room, you know, when the team all gathers after the game ends, head coach Chris Finch presented Kat with that game ball. So he'll be able to frame that or you know, bring it home, do whatever he wants with it, and just be able to remember that moment. You know, a lot of people say, oh, it's just a number. Obviously, 10,009 points is better than 10,000. But I think in the context of, you know, he's just the second player in the history of this Timberwolves franchise to reach that mark. It's he and Kevin Garnett. And adding to that, Kat was the fastest to do it. He did it in it wasn't even close, frankly, in terms of how many fewer games he did it compared to Kevin Garnett. And obviously, the game has changed from when KG was this team's leading scorer, but there's been some other names that have come and gone. And I think it's a testament to, you know, Kat's longevity already, even though he's still a guy very much in the prime of his career. So I think he's able to recognize and kind of appreciate the fact that what he's done for this team already at such a, you know, an early part of his career is pretty cool and pretty unprecedented. And I think he has that appreciation for the milestone.
Now, Cal, I saw a number, I think it was maybe before the Portland game, when it comes to a Timberwolves record this year with D'Angelo Russell and without D'Angelo Russell. And I think the Timberwolves are like 0-5 without D'Lo in the lineup, so they have not won a game when their point guard is not available. I think what that number means to me, and I want to get your thoughts, is it shows that this team can play with anybody on any given night, but it also shows that maybe depth is a spot where we're hurting, because if we're missing one of the big three, it just seems like, for the most part, we're not able to make up for their absence if one of those three guys, Ant or Cat or D'Lo, are out of the lineup.
Yeah, D'Lo especially has had a really big impact so far this year, really on both ends of the floor. And I think the improvements he's made defensively especially have really kind of shown themselves this year, both in games that he's played. He's made some big plays on that defensive side. And then, you know, when he sat out, I think we've seen some of those weaknesses exposed more often by opponents. You know, you look at the losing streak last week when D'Lo missed those three games at home. And Timberwolves opponents just lit up the Wolves from deep. You know, the Atlanta Hawks and the Utah Jazz knocked down 25 triples each, and that was the worst a Timberwolves team has allowed an opponent to shoot in a single game. So D'Lo has really been key, I think, in the sense that not only is on-ball defense, but also kind of being the quarterback of that defense and calling out screens, calling out sets. He kind of knows where everyone needs to be. And that's a valuable thing, and it's also valuable when that guy who knows that much and is such a student of the game is able to speak up and kind of be the vocal leader. And really, you know, in terms of the health and having guys available, that starting five in total since Chris Finch went to Patrick Beverley in the backcourt with D'Angelo Russell, that's been one of the very best starting fives in the NBA. When you look at their net rating, you know, their offensive rating combined with their defensive rating, the net rating is the very best starting five unit in terms of units that have had at least 100 minutes together. So they really, when everyone's healthy and available, and it's been unfortunately only for a handful of games, but when they're out there, they're really, really tough to compete with in terms of what other opponents have to offer. It's just a matter of, you know, what that starting unit can do, then the second unit has to come in and maybe get better at sustaining it. Or maybe the coaching staff messes with rotations a little bit to leave some of those starters out there with different lineups for longer stretches. But, you know, it's one of those deals. Every team at different points of the season will deal with guys, you know, getting hurt. Or unfortunately, we've seen it a lot in the last week and change. Players entering the health and safety protocols with positive tests or close contacts. So you got to be able to kind of keep yourself afloat when you're not at full strength. But what the Wolves have done a great job of so far is when they're at full strength, they've really taken advantage. And that starting five unit especially has really taken it to some teams.
Talking Timberwolves basketball here on KATE, Cal Soderquist, again, executive producer and studio host of Timberwolves radio broadcast that you hear on KATE. And we're going to have the game coming up tomorrow night. Always fun when LeBron James and the Lakers come to Target Center. Cal, give me your thoughts or give me a preview of tomorrow's game. First of all, I don't like that the NBA messed with my Friday night by moving it to a 9 o'clock game. We should never have a 9 o'clock start here in Minnesota. And second of all, some rumblings about Russell Westbrook, maybe a guy that the Lakers look to move. I mean, we know it has not been the smoothest season out there in La La Land for the Lakers this year.
Yeah, it would be, you know, I'd be surprised, I guess, if they sort of cut bait so quickly on the Russell Westbrook experiment after, you know, they just brought him in this last offseason. I know he's kind of a polarizing guy, and you could argue both ways in terms of whether or not he's had success in some of his recent stops in Washington with Bradley Beal and the Wizards, and then before that, you know, he was in Houston with his buddy James Harden. But, you know, as far as the game Friday, I agree. I think it's going to call for an extra cup of coffee or two in the afternoon to keep us all awake and charged up. But once they toss that ball up, it should be a really fun matchup. And it's we can blame ESPN for moving that game into the national slot, and that's why it's a 9 o'clock start. But of course, hopefully everyone will be muting the TV and listening on radio. I'm excited for the matchup, though. I think, you know, obviously the Wolves are coming home with some real momentum after two straight wins on the road. The Lakers just had a crazy buzzer-beating win in Dallas last night. So they're probably going to be feeling pretty good about themselves. And you're right. There's always just kind of something special about LeBron James, you know, coming into the building. Not only do fans get really excited to see LeBron in person, but I think even, you know, with certain players, especially some of these young guys, they maybe wouldn't admit it. They wouldn't tell you publicly that they get excited to play a guy like LeBron. You know, they're very guarded with some of the praise that they maybe want to keep on an opponent, especially in advance of a game. But I would not be shocked if we see some big performances from either, you know, Kat, Ant, D'Lo, et cetera. All these guys will be excited to play on that national stage. And, you know, they love playing in front of their home fans at the Target Center. We've had some pretty good crowds so far this season. It was tough, you know, for a guy like Ant, who is, you know, he's so fun-loving and easygoing, and he feeds off that energy and atmosphere created in a home building. He didn't get much of that in his rookie season with limited capacity crowds and sometimes completely empty buildings. So he's really been enjoying it so far this year. He said multiple times how he feeds off of it. We're expecting really, really close to a complete sellout of the building tomorrow night. So it should be a great atmosphere and a really fun matchup.
Again, Kel Soderquist, first time that we've had him on at Kate Radio at Afternoons with Aaron. He's going to be a weekly guest talking about one of my favorite teams and obviously one of Kel's favorite teams as well, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Again, we are a radio affiliate of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And one thing about the sports that we carry here on KETE, the Twins, the Gophers, the Wild, and the Timberwolves, we are very blessed with the broadcasters that we get to work with. Now, we hear their broadcast here on Kate Radio, and Cal does a great job along with Al Horton, the voice of Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. We'll hear from them, those two, tomorrow night. Again, tip off way past my bedtime, but 9 o'clock tomorrow night here on KETE, your home for Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. Cal, it's been great getting a chance to talk with you, getting to know you, and I look forward to working with you on a weekly basis and talking about our Minnesota Timberwolves as the season progresses.
Yeah, of course, Aaron. I look forward to it, too. And hopefully, you know, as we talk each week, we're talking about more and more wins starting to pile up.
We like wins. We want this Timberwolves franchise to finally turn the corner. And a couple of big wins this
week. I agree.
Week.
I think they've shown some signs, and hopefully we can keep it going.
You know, you mentioned the last time they beat Denver. I was in attendance at that game, and that will still go down as one of my favorite live sporting events is when they beat Denver in game 82 to advance to the postseason. We need more moments like that at Target Center. There's no doubt about that.
Agreed. Yeah, that was an electric game. And, yeah, hopefully, you know, we get one of those atmospheres, at least similar atmospheres, coming up here Friday. And if they keep stacking up wins, more and more of those type of atmospheres.
Again, Kel Soderquist, executive producer and studio host of Minnesota Timberwolves basketball on the Radio Network. Kel, thank you so much for the time. Good luck to the Wolves tomorrow night. We'll hear from you then, and we'll touch base again next week.
Awesome. Thanks, Aaron. Sounds good.